You're listening to the audio production of Ashes by Christopher DeFink, published by Harper Inspire and read by Laura Kerman. Who would ever think that so much went on in the soul of a young girl? Anne Frank. Author's note. All unattributed epigraphs are either excerpts or memories as recorded and shared in the war journal of Major General Joseph Henry Kestens, the author's grandfather. Major General Kestens was awarded the Croix de Guerre for bravery and served in the Belgian army during the Second World War as part of the Belgian resistance, before being captured and imprisoned in Spain. Following his liberation, he spent the rest of the war in London. After the war, he returned to Brussels. His family, including the author's mother, emigrated to New Jersey, USA, via London in 1948. Dedication to Catherine DeVink. Prologue. Terror. Pandemonium. Panic. Children wailed. People shouted, "Get down! Get down!" Brussels, a city consumed by fear. People rushed out of their homes, spilling onto the narrow streets, crashing into each other with suitcases and rumours about tanks crushing women. Nazis with bayonets. Antwerp to the north in flames. My father had said the invasion would happen. Where was my father now? Like so many frightened people, I ran too. A man carrying a typewriter pushed me aside. I fell against a woman who asked if I had seen her daughter. "Julie, she was just here, holding my hand. She was sucked up into the crowd. Do you know where my daughter is?" I was swallowed into the mosaic of red shirts, blue trousers, cotton skirts. Clothed seeming to move in terror. Not filled with people, but with ghosts floating inside the sleeves and coats. Ghosts with grey features, slackened jaws and hollow eyes. I looked up and did not see clouds and spring leaves, but something much darker that seemed to shroud the entire city. Outstretched wings soared high above my head and what looked like the belly of a dragon. I broke away from the mob, pushing my way between men in clogs and women carrying crying children and baskets of bread, forcing my way towards Harver's house. I needed to get to Harver. Then I heard a low sound, a growl. The belly of the dragon dropped closer until it finally became a plane swooping down towards the street. Closer, closer. Then a burst of blinding light flashed from under the wings, spraying bullets all around me. People called out and cried again and again, "Get down! Get down!" Bullets shredded the back of a man who managed to throw himself over a small boy who shrieked, "Daddy!" A woman's jaw was severed from her mouth. Blood splashed onto my blouse. I fell to the ground, holding my arms. I wanted my father. I wanted Harver. I didn't know what to do. Seconds later, the bullets stopped. The plane disappeared. All was silent for a moment, a brief moment, as if the world took a deep breath. And then there was a scream. It was almost as if the wheels of a train had locked and strained against the railway tracks, a high-pitched sound like the wail of metal against metal. Tragedy embodied that scream. Horror conveyed in a single anguished cry. A woman held a small girl in her arms. She wailed, "Julie! Julie!" The little girl's arms dangled at her sides like winter vines. Her head lulled back. Her legs were limp. The side of the girl's face and the cobblestones beneath my feet were streaked with blood. She was dead. "Julie! Julie!" The woman moaned and rocked the child in her arms. She looked at me, as if to ask if I might save her daughter. "Julie," she pleaded. I looked at the small curls on the girl's shattered skull, turned, stumbled, and skinned my knees. Blood dripped down my legs. "Julie, Julie!"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?